About Thanksgiving, take me way back to when I first started school in West Virginia. And I remember the very first part. I think I was in the first grade. I'm not sure. But it went something like this. What are you thankful for today? Grandpa said to little Ray, I'll tell you what, I'm thankful I can hold a lot. I thought that was pretty good for a little boy. And then they had me to say this one too. Little girls do speak 'em just because they think it's fun to stand up on the platform and stare at everyone. And little boys do speak 'em, but oh, I'm telling you, if they all feel like I do, they're glad when they're through. Okay, but things have changed. I haven't stopped talking after I got to be a junior in high school. They elected me the vice president of our class, and I took off, and I've been going ever since. Have your Bibles open there. We want to talk about being thankful. Paul said to Timothy, one of the things that we would see in the last days, that people were grossly unthankful and very just greedy about things. We're living in such a society today when people are just not thankful at all and think that they're supposed to have everything and have it now. And this is a season, a time when we start to enter the whole year into the new year, when we'd be thankful for what God has given us and what He's done for us. And we at our church have a lot to praise God for. We have a lot of blessings. We have a lot of friends and family scattered around, and people that come here from miles away, and people go back and talk about it. Missionaries. Got a note from our missionary who was here last Sunday, and I got one from the one was here Wednesday night telling us how much they appreciate being here and the offerings that we have delivered up to them to do the work of God. So God has given us a new vision and a new place, and it's wonderful to be a part of it. And so we think about being thankful. There in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18 says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Many times people ask me, they'll say, how do I know what the will of God is for me? Well, go through the Bible and look, and here's one place where it says to be thankful in everything. It didn't say be thankful for everything, because when there's storming and when friends are mad and family's upset and all those things are going on, it's hard to be thankful. You're not thankful for that, but you can still find something in that situation to be thankful for. Thank God you're alive. Thank God you got 2 feet on the ground and you got 2 shoes to put on them. And thank God that you got some relevance of people around you that still care about you and love you. Got a lot to be thankful for. And we'll talk about that more and more. But remember, in everything, I think one of the worst testimonies that Christians have is when some tragedy happens in their life and they fall apart. Now, we all need a place of crying, and we all need a place to shed a tear, and we all need a time of hiccups. But if God is real and Christ is our Savior, we ought to have joy in our sorrows as well as when we don't have sorrows. We lose it. What does the world want when they see us falling apart because some tragics hit us? They're thinking, "What? I thought you had something that would carry you through." Jesus said, cast all your care upon Him, for He cared for Him. He cares for us. That, what more do we need to know that He cares? And we know that that verse in the Bible, and this too shall pass. This is not the end of it. And what is at the end of that is far greater than anything we can imagine. So be thankful in everything. Be thankful for who you are. God gave you a soul. God gave you everything that you have. My competition is getting loud, so I'm getting louder, all right? He's going to be a preacher one of these days. Probably push me off the pulpit. We need to thank God for what you have and not feeling fretting over what you don't have. You know, we could all dream about that. We get a nice place and we look over and our neighbor's got a 2-car garage. We want 2. And then he gets 3 and then we want 4. And we just live like that in constant competition. And we're never satisfied. We got to have a little bit more of this and throw this away and have something else. We're just a throwaway society. We throw away people, our families. We throw away our babies. We don't even want them anymore. We're not thankful for the new life that God has given and created in the womb. And the Bible tells us that. It said, how do you know how that body was formed, little body was formed with the bones all in? How did God do all that? The mighty God, only one could do that. Amen. Number 2, we thank God for receiving His mercy and grace and not His wrath. Think about the people out in California. Think about what they're going through. I know there's some that think some of them maybe deserve it. I don't know about that. I'm not that kind of prophet. Maybe they do. God knows what's going on. But I know one thing. It's not me. And I'm not wondering if my house is going to burn down before night. And if there's enough well to spray the water around to keep me from there. Thank God for what you have. Thank God for who you are and not someone else. Charles Spurgeon said, or one of his cohorts, I forget which one it was, said, if we could all go to a giant table and put our problems on the table and pick up whichever ones we want, he said, we'd all pick up the ones we had. We don't know how good we have it until we get out and see how some of the other world has to live and what they're going through. Thank God for each trial to make you stronger in your faith. How would you ever know how to climb a mountain if you never test yourself out to climb one? And then when one does come, you fall apart like people that I know. And if it is irritating to me, it must be irritating to God to think these are my children. If we're like the Jews going through the desert, we don't have any meat to eat. We don't have any meat to eat. I'll give you meat till it comes out your nose. And that's what he did. You know, it's a wonder God don't beat us more than what he does, the way we gripe and complain. If it's raining, we want it dry. And if it's dry, we want it raining. If it's snowing, we want it warm. And it's warm, we can't wait for the snow. We just never get satisfied with anything that God gives unto us. And when you looked at the beautiful mountains the other morning after the snow, how gorgeous and beautiful they looked to me. I felt like singing that song we sang back there when I was a little kid. Over the river and through the woods, to Grandma's house we go. Hurrah for the fun, it's pudding done. Thank God for the pumpkin pie. You remember those songs? And we was in a one-room school with a big pot-belly stove, and the teacher would get us around early in the morning and stick the poker in there and throw some coal in there, and we'd warm this side, then this side would freeze, and we'd turn around and warm this side. Then we'd sing some more songs, go over and put a star on the board if you brush your teeth. I mean, they taught us things that were important. And the Bible lay on the teacher's desk, and every once in a while, she had a paddle she pulled out, get up here, and whap. Thank God for the kinds of education and raising we had. And we have all this modern-day computers and all this clicking this and clicking that, but we got to lock the door so nobody can get in because we don't know if we're going to be alive when we come out the next day. How sick and how sad and how sorry. Thank God for the valleys in your life so you can be alone with God and know He's all-sufficient. Someone has said you never know God is enough until God's all you have left. I think we are afraid to get alone with God. We're even afraid to be alone with ourselves. Because the truth is, if we look inside ourselves, we can't stand who we are. And when we get alone with God, He says, I made you fearfully. I fearfully and wonderfully I made you. And God says, you're important to me. And I made you for a special purpose in life. And I'm getting you ready for that great day. This is a hard one, but thank God for sticky friends to teach you compassion. You know what sticky friends are, right? The kind when you see coming, you think, oh, no. Oh, no. And you try to disguise yourself, and they say, hey, I got something I got to tell you. And you're just thinking, oh, no, here we go. But thank God for that. That teaches you compassion. And people that just go on and on and on and on, and you never... I went down to see Marilyn while this stuff was going on to tell her we were sorry she was sick. You know, I love Marilyn, but boy, trying to talk to her it's a listening job. You know what I mean? Don't you think so? I mean, she don't stop. To get a word in edgewise, like threading a sewing machine and it running. I mean, you got... But God bless her, I love her. Amen. And she said, yo, Pastor Hodge, tell the people their prayers. You're the best pastor. And she just going on and on and on. I mean, just all love in spite of it. I'm thinking, how in the world could you be upset with somebody like that? Thank God. Thank God. Sometimes we need to listen a little more. Amen. One of our men was saying this morning, coming in, he can't hear. I said, be glad you can't. Some of the things I hear, I don't want to hear. My father-in-law used to turn the hearing aid down when all of his family would come in and smile. He didn't hear what he was saying. That's the best way to live, right? The lady said to me, he said, Pastor Hodge, you don't know it all. I said, thank God. What I do know makes me sick. I'm glad I don't know any more about it. But thank God for those. And thank God for trusting you to be a worker for Him and with Him. Thank God. when they ask you to join the choir, thank God when they ask you to work with the kids, that God would entrust you with that part of His work so much that He would make you a part of it. That's a special touch from God. Thank God for that. I ain't very good at singing. Well, nobody is until they try, and then they get better as they go along. You got to practice if you're going to do it right, right? Someone asked me if I played the piano. I said, I don't know. I haven't tried yet. I'm like the little boy that was at the baseball game, and the old man come by, and the little boy was standing by the fence, and he said, how's it going? He said, good. He said, what's going on? He said, we're playing. He said, what's the score? He said, 14-0. He said, are you ahead? He said, no, they are. He said, but we haven't batted yet. Thank God. God's people haven't batted yet. God hasn't batted yet. He's not finished yet. It looks like the devil's got it on his side, but I want to tell you something. God just sits, and when God moves, it'll all change. God's waiting for His appearance to become. Okay, let's look at the next part of this, some ways to be thankful. If you can't remember anything else, I think you ought to start with this, and you get everything out. Remember your salvation. When we have communion, and we say we do this in remembrance of the Lord, we're remembering that a cross was raised up with Jesus Christ on it. And when they took that cross and pushed it up and it slid down into that hole and thud in that ground and pulled at the nails on His hands and bleeding already from the beatings and whippings He'd had and moaning and groaning, that was the beginning of the payment for my salvation. Remember this. Remember how much it cost to buy each one of us, and none of us was worth it. We were all sinners. We all should be lost and burnt in hell. But God was out to save us by His work on the cross, His finished work. Praise God. This remember. Remember the salvation. He said in Colossians chapter 2, verse 6, as you have therefore received Christ the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him. Did you ever see plants that just don't have enough root, and when the sun comes out hot, they just wilt? That's the way a lot of Christians are. They don't get any root. You got to get into this Word. You got to get around other Christians and Christians that have been around a long time and been through a lot of fiery trials, and get close to them to understand how to get your roots down deep. You see the pine tree with no roots, when the winds come, it just blows it over. But the mighty oak just swings backwards and forwards. And everything that's no good on the oak tree just drops off till spring comes and starts a new life again. And it just swings in the breeze, and the storm blows and blows, but the pine tree just falls down. You know why? Doesn't have any root. You know why many Christians fall? Why you don't see them in the church? They come once in a while, and then they don't come at all? Because they're like that pine tree. The wind blows them a little bit, and they just fall over. But the mighty oak keeps standing. Keeps standing. And that's where the squirrel goes and makes his nest. Not in the pine tree, because in the oak, because he knows he's safe in the oak tree. We need to be rooted and grounded in Him, in the Word of God, the mighty Word of God that sustains us and guides us and helps us and directs us. The Word of God. He says, rooted and bound and established in the faith. Oh, my life is falling apart. Oh, I think I'm going to lose my job. Oh, so what? God's bigger than your job. God's bigger than any problem you got. God can take care of it, and sometimes God lets all that happen just to show you how good He is to you and take care of you. Amen. To fold you to His breast and hug you and say, I love you. Dear child, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll go with you always, even to the end. There's no battle, there's no storm, there's no problem that He cannot solve. He says, in the faith as ye have been taught. You know something that's wrong with many Christians? They're just not teachable. I don't consider myself the best, but you start trying to teach somebody one-on-one, and you get three words out of their mouth, and they say, I know, I know. Just want to slap a taste out of their mouth. I do. I mean, they don't know. That's why I'm trying to teach you something. Listen to what somebody's trying to say to you, so you can get that in there. Well, I don't like this. Hey, some of my best teachers I didn't like. My dad and mom was my teachers in school, and when I got graduated from high school, I said, I'm leaving you all, goodbye, and I joined the United States Army. I was putting on the uniform, I was traveling on a train, on a bus, I'd never been out of Kentucky or West Virginia, and I was traveling, I think, boy, this is something. They took me all the way to Fort Carson, Colorado. Next morning, I was sleeping, and all of a sudden the door slammed, bam, 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 get out of the bed. I thought, what is going on? And here was this little corporal about that tall, kicking this bed over, pulling this mattress out. I had to deal with him for 8 weeks. He's about that tall. I wanted to knock the slop out of him. Some wise person said to me, when you get into a real dark combat situation, what he's taught you will save you. Jesus puts people in our life that we may not like, but they're going to teach us something very profitable that will save us a lot of heartache. We just don't want to listen. We don't want to be taught. He said that you have been taught abounding therein with thanksgiving. Thank God for those people that you don't like that will be able to teach you some things that you're going to need somewhere, someday. Number two, strive to do all that you do it for the Lord. If you're out to please people, listen to me, some of you need to write this down. Listen, I believe this with all my heart, you only get burnt out if you do it for people. If you do stuff for God, you'll never, because He'll bless you so much and bless you so much, you don't get burnout. There's no burnout with God. Burnout is when you work for people. And you can never do enough to please people all the time. They'll be happy with you today and upset with you tomorrow. So remember to do what you do for the Lord. In Colossians 3:17, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Doing it for God. Doing it for God. Well, nobody, doesn't matter. God will. And one day, He will put His hand on you and say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of the Lord. Praise God for that day. And to see that smile upon His face. Welcome home, my child, for all that you've done. For those prayers. For that cup of cold water you may have given. For that child you may have comforted. For that old person that you may have stopped and listened to that rattled on with their tongue and it didn't mean any sense, but you listened and stood patiently by while they were able to talk to somebody that would listen to them. Praise God. Do all that you do for Him. I'm doing this for Him. And He brings those people across your path, all those kinds of things. Number three, you have to have these in order because you'll not be able to get to number three if you don't go through one and two. But number three, give of your life, your possessions, and your service sacrificially. If you ever read in Numbers and Exodus, some of those, when Moses did the services that God asked him to have in the temple, they had a lot of sacrificial services. Sacrifice means when we go above and beyond, we're actually making a sacrifice. We pray, Lord, give us our daily bread, and we have our homes stuffed with a lot of goodies. We could live for months or weeks. And we're saying, give us our daily bread. God's already given us a year or a month worth of it. What are we really saying? When am I going to give sacrificially? When am I going to reach deep into my... Remember when Elisha came to the widow? And he said, I'm hungry. I need something to eat. I'm paraphrasing, okay? And she said, I've got enough oil in here and enough meal to make one cake for me and my son, and we're going to eat that and we're going to die. He said, I'll tell you what you do. You make a cake for me first. God says, bring of the first of your offerings, not the last. We give God so much of what's left over. We give what's left over our money. We give what's left over our time. We give what's left over of everything we have and then wonder why God isn't blessing us. He says, give me first. He said, make me first. Make God first in your life. And she did, and the Bible says that the oil didn't run out and the meal didn't waste. And they lived through a drought while the world around them was falling apart. Somebody said to me, now that they changed in the Congress, they're going to have a big stock market crash. And I'll lose everything I have. Well, first of all, if you lose everything you had a lot to lose, didn't you? At least you had got to enjoy it before you lost it. I don't know. I never had any in there. I didn't have that much to put in there. But if you had... So what? So what? If I lose everything, and one day when they lay you down in the casket, and I always like it when people say to me, don't he look nice? I got news for you. Dead people don't look good to me. Live people look good to me. I like to see live people. But you know what? He can't go to get some money out of the stock market. He can't go write a check for $1 million. He can't do any of that. Naked he came into this world, and naked he's going to go back to God. Be thankful. Show God that you're thankful with your life, your possessions, and give sacrificially unto Him. Say, God, how can I give more? How can I do some more for you? Was it Jabez who prayed, Lord, enlarge my borders. Give me more to do. Give me more things. Give me more. I want to do more and more and more for Jesus. Hebrews in 13:15 says, by Him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. How long has it been since you just got alone with God and said, God, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for what you've done for me. Thank you. I'm not one of those people walking across Mexico. Thank you, God, that I'm not living in California and everything burned up. Thank you, God, I'm not laying in a hospital. Thank God I'm not facing the doctor looking at me and saying you have terminal cancer. Thank God. Thank God. And when all that's done, say, thank you, God, for heaven, because when I leave all this body, I'll be in heaven with God. Praise God. We're just an unthankful people. We got the gimmies. We got the wants. We want it all. He says in verse 16, but do good and communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. I get convicted sometimes by neighbors. I don't even go see them. It's like I just live and communicate from my house to everywhere else. I was thinking about my neighbor the other day. I got to go over and see him. It's coming Christmas time and Thanksgiving. I got to visit some of the people around. We had our kids up here, a bunch of them. If we ever get them all up here, we'd have to get another extension built on the Family Life Center. Old missionaries never die. They just keep bringing it on stronger. You know what I mean? But he says in Psalm 107, verse 21, oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness. We would praise Him for His goodness and His wonderful works to the children of men. Verse 23, and let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare His works with rejoicing. He gave His greatest sacrifice for us on that tree. What sacrifice have I made? What sacrifice have you made? What sacrifice have we really made? When have we really sacrificed for God? Can you name last time this was the greatest sacrifice that I could ever make for God? We need to really think about that at a time of thanksgiving. Number four, give thanks to God for who He is and what He does. You know, God could just decide, and one day He will, the sun's not going to come up. The moon's going to go down in blood. The mountains are going to move out of their places. The world's going to shake and tremble. But so far, He's given me and you a sunrise every morning. We can look out and see the beautiful sunrise. We can see the beautiful sunset. We can see the beautiful mountains. We can see the eagle soaring through the air. We can see all the things that God has made. I don't know, when is deer season coming? I got two that's walking right up to my door every morning. I mean, they're really coming right up to my door. Jack's got a bear wrestling in his yard, right, Jack? I have to go over and check him out here. I guess it's his bear season. But I mean, we see all the beautiful creation of God. I come dragging in a beautiful pheasant. My wife says, how do you kill such a beautiful bird? I said, it was easy, one shot. You men just think everything out there is just for you to shoot. God said, subdue this world. That's what I'm going to do. The fowl of the earth, the fish of the sea, and go fishing, go after them. Yeah, amen. God made it all for us because He loved us so much. And verse 2, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of His enemies. When the last time you had a serious talk with someone that you never even met before about your salvation? The saddest thing that I have to do sometimes, not a lot lately, but there have been a few times when a family comes to me and said, would you bury Grandpap? And I said, well, do you know if Grandpap was a Christian? Pastor Raj, I have no idea. I said, did he have a Bible? Well, I don't know. Don't you think that's really sad? You need to tell your family now. You need to tell your friends. You need to tell people you don't even know. Let me tell you about the greatest thing that ever happened to me in my life. Let me tell you about the most wonderful experience I ever had in my life. And if your experience is going cold and stale, You need to get down here at this altar and say, God, I've grown cold and stale. Do I really have what I think I have? If not, give it to me now, because I want to be right with God, because He might call you home. Amen. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. God doesn't have any secret disciples, folks. He doesn't have any silent witnesses. Someone said silence is golden. It's just plain yellow too sometimes, cowardly. You got to speak up for the Lord. Amen?
Amen?
Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. In conclusion, I'd like to say this morning, never stop thanking God. There's always so much to thank Him for. To thank Him. My sister had a friend, and he's been dying of terminal cancer for the last year. He's down in one of the hospitals down there in Baltimore. I forget which one. And she called me two or three times, told me she's going down. She was trying to talk to him about the Lord. He don't believe there's a God, she said. I said, well, if he's going to die, he's going to find out in a hurry there is when he meets Him. She called me yesterday morning. She said, I'm going to be down there. They don't expect him to live another day. She said, I would like for you to pray for him over the phone, and I'll call you. I forgot about it. We had our meeting up there. When I came out of the building, I looked at my phone, and I told my wife, I said, I've got 5 calls from her. And so I dialed her. She said, oh, thank you for calling. She said, I want you to pray with Randy. She said, he doesn't have much longer to live. I prayed something like this. I said, Lord, I pray right now if he has not. And Randy, if you have not, accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, because you're going to meet God real soon. And you're going to hear Him say, depart from me, for I never knew you. Or you'll hear Him say, welcome Him, one or the other, depending on whether you've said that or not. And I prayed for him. I prayed a lot of generalities, and I prayed that he would find Christ. But you know, if he didn't accept Christ, that man's in hell. And she's made numerous trips up to that hospital from where she lives down in Virginia. And she's prayed for him and prayed for him and prayed for him, asked me to pray for him. Listen, life is a big joy, and life is a big mess. But when it comes down to death, life is ending. And we're all going to step out into eternity and meet God. The Bible says, prepare to meet thy God. Jesus said, I go away and prepare a place for you. And if I go away and prepare a place for you, I'm going to come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And then Thomas says, how can we know the way? He said, Thomas, have I been so long with you, you don't know who I am? I am the truth, the way, and the life. We need to know the way. We need to tell this lost and dying world that there is a way to peace and happiness and joy in this life. That we can thank God in the midst of our troubles, in the midst of our storm, because we have a God that's greater than the storm. We have a God that's greater than our tribulation, greater than our problem, greater than all that the devil can send at us. And God has His hand over all of our troubles. And He lets a few in, and then He holds them back. Then He lets a few in. Nothing comes into your life but what God doesn't first sift it through His hands and decide whether to see or not. Just as the devil came before God and said, I'd just like to take Job and I'm speaking paraphrase, just shake him till his teeth rattle. I just like, because the only reason he praises you is because you've blessed him so much. He said, you can do anything to him but kill him. And you know the story. He took his possessions. He took his family. He only had his wife left. And his wife turned against him. His wife said, Job, you ought to curse God and die. You know what Job said? Thou art a foolish woman. I know many people that's cursing God. Oh, they don't come right out and say it. They're a coward to say it. But why did God let this happen? Why is God doing me this way? God knows what He's doing. God knows what will bring you. David, when his little baby died, and he revisited his mind, I'm sure, of the adultery and everything else that he had done and the murder that he'd committed. And he was in there praying in sackcloth and ashes. And he's praying and they're saying, the baby died. Who's going to go tell him? He's already half mad and crazy now, praying in there and crying to God. Who's going to go tell him? They said, he's probably going to come out of there insane, but let's go tell him. And they told him, the baby's died. He got up, washed his face, combed his hair, put his clothes on. He said, I can't bring the baby back, but but I can go to the baby. Listen, we've got to keep things in perspective. This is not heaven. This is not hunky-dory, peachy-creamy. This is the world. This is a very bad place. And God wants us here for one reason. When God saved you, He saved you for two reasons. One, to keep your poor soul out of hell. That's what you were saved for. But if that was the only reason, He'd knocked you in the head and already took you there. But He saved you to be a witness for Him. Amen. We're His laborers, co-laborers with Him. So be thankful that you have a promise of a home in heaven. In 1 Thessalonians 2:13, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is truth, the word of God, which is effectually worketh also in you that believe. We have a great job to do. Thank God for America. Thank God right now that we got a president standing up for the law finally for those people down there. Everybody wants to boo. And that crowd that wants to boo-hoo about those people and will abort babies and throw them in a pan in a hospital somewhere, there's some disconnect. That's not clicking up there. Tell me how much you care about a kid you've never seen, a family you don't know, a home you don't know, and you'll take a baby and flush it down the commode. Come on, something's wrong with that picture. We just jump from one side to the other. Which way is the wind blowing politically or religiously, or what does the church say? And we just say anything to match the feelings of people. We need to look people out on the eyeball and say, you're a sinner going to hell and you need Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank God for your home. Thank God for your family. Thank God for your work. Thank God for your friends. I know we got those sticky ones. But thank God for every person He's brought into your life that decided to be your friends. Somebody wonders why I spend so much time on Facebook. Because I got a lot of friends. And I send them all those messages about Jesus. I send them all those messages. And every once in a while they get smart with me and I defriend them. And then they come back begging me, bring me back as your friend. If you don't wash your potty mouth out, you ain't going to be my friend. Amen. Had a guy get in the car one time when I was out in Cincinnati. I was going to revival. I stopped and picked him up. He was hitchhiking along the road. He said, can I get in your car and ride with you? I said, when you put that cigarette out. He said, why is that? I said, this is God's car and He don't want any smoking in it. Amen. He said, well, I smoke everywhere. I said, not my car, you don't. I said, shut the door, we're leaving. Oh no, he climbed in. He started talking about damn this and damn that and something else. I said, you're in God's car, shut that language up. He said, I say what I want to say. I stopped the car. I said, get out of the car. He got out and slammed the door. You know, we don't let people know that God is a real person to us and a real friend, and He loves us. And when we tell people, somebody once said this, nobody has a right to hear the gospel twice until everybody's heard it once. And when people have heard it and 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 heard it, I think it's time we move to a new territory and start telling people about Jesus. Amen. Are you thankful today? Let me hear it if you're thankful. Praise God. Praise God. Let's stand for song. I'd rather be an old-time Christian, Lord, than anything I know. Wonderful song we used to sing years ago. Let us pray. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, we bow before Thee this morning and thank You for this church. Thank You for these people. Thank You for everybody, people that work behind the scenes and do things that we don't even realize being done. We thank You, Lord, that You've given us a job. Lord, when we get tied to our possessions and our selfish things, forgive us. And Lord, when You have to chasten us and bring us back to God, thank You for that. Thank You for loving us. Thank You for giving us, every one of us can be friends with everybody in this church. Thank You for this church full of friends. Thank You for family. Thank You for home. Thank You for America. Thank You for the men who are away from their families that are standing guard somewhere on the borders today or on the sea or in the submarine or wherever they are. Lord, they're standing guard to guard the privileges that we have. Thank You for them, Lord. Thank You for those that do this. And Lord, if there be one person here today that says, this is all Greek to me, I don't even know what You're talking about. They need salvation. May they come to this altar and trust Christ as their personal Savior. Accept Jesus and be born again. As the instruments play for just a moment, if you're in need of any reason to come to this altar, you come. And while we're thinking about that, if you're here and you know that you're saved and on your way to heaven, you have no doubts about it, would you raise your right hand and say, as a witness to God, that's me, that's me. You may put it down. I noticed some could not put it up. Listen, you say, how can you be sure? I can be sure of what Jesus said. Jesus said, if I confess with my mouth and believe with my heart in Romans chapter 10, 9 and 10, that I will be saved. That's what he says to do. I don't work a ton. I don't work a pile. I get saved and then I do good work for him because now I'm a child of God. If you've not done that, you need to pray that prayer. Dear Lord, in the best way I know how, I confess that I'm a sinner, but I don't want to die and go to hell. And I believe that Jesus Christ died for me. And right now, by faith, I accept him into my heart and life. Thank you for saving me. If you've never done that, that prayer, in your own words, you don't have to say what I said. God wants to save you. It's not the will of God that any should perish, the Bible says, but that all should come to repentance. God wants us all to be saved. So you're going against the will of God when you don't accept him as your Savior. If you're here this morning, have any need of the altar, if you want to come pray for family, friends, you want to come and admit your own greed and selfishness and say, God, forgive me. Just come down to the altar and say, forgive me for being selfish and greedy. I've been that way, and I want to change. I don't want to be that way. I want to be a thankful person. I want to thank you for my mate. I want to thank you for who I'm married to. I want to thank you for everything you've done for me, Lord. Thank you. Come on, the altar's open. We've got a few minutes to thank God. We're going to spend time eating with family and friends, going hunting and doing a lot of things. We ought to take a few minutes and thank God at the church. On this pre-Thanksgiving Sunday, we ought to say, thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you. $185, Jesus paid it all. Somebody said, what do you mean when you talk about sacrifice? The chicken and the hog were talking. And the chicken said, I make a sacrifice. And the hog said, no, you make a choice. I make a sacrifice. When they have ham, cost me my life. There's a difference. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Brother Ed, would you have our closing prayer this morning, please?